Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Seekers Church podcast with overseers Apostles Larry and Teresa Robinson. We believe in teaching to affect change.
Starting at verse 1, the Lord has been dealing with me here, and I believe that he has a word that he wants to speak to us out of this particular passage of scripture on this morning. So if you will indulge me, we will read the scriptures and then we will get off into this word and say, well, thus says the Lord. I'm going to read Isaiah 24, 1 through 5 from the Amplified version here. And the word of the Lord reads, behold, in large letters, which means listen, the Lord will make the land and the earth empty and make it waste and turn it upside down, twist the face of it and scatter abroad its inhabitants. Verse 2, and it shall be as what happens with the people, so with the priest as with the servant, so with his master as with the maid, so with her mistress as with the buyer, so with the seller as with the lender, so with the borrower as with the creditor, so with the debtor. Verse 3, the land and the earth shall be utterly laid waste and utterly pillaged, for the Lord has said this. Verse 4, the land and the earth mourn and wither. The world languishes and withers, the high ones of the people, and the heavens with the earth languish. Verse 5, the land and the earth also are defiled by their inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, disregarded the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Praise the Lord. Now, I know it don't sound very comforting right now, but when I was reading this and the Holy Spirit gave me a title, it didn't add up, but it will if you keep following. And what he said to title this message is, you're going to get it all back. Bless the Lord. You're going to get it all back. Didn't look like it to start with, but God's going to use everything that's going on for his glory and to bring his people to an expected end. Amen. So you may be seated in this place as we go through what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in the word on this morning. And when he starts off with Isaiah, talking to Isaiah in 24 and 1, and tells him, behold, the Lord will make the land and the earth empty and make it waste and turn it upside down. That's what he said. And he will scatter abroad its inhabitants. Verse 1, he says to Judah, listen, the scripture says the Lord will make the earth empty. That is, he will depopulate it or take away its inhabitants and its wealth. The word earth here is used not to denote the whole world, but it's the land to which the prophet particularly refers, and that's the land of Judah. He said he'll turn it upside down and he'll depopulate. I know it looks demeaning and cruel, and you don't want to say that, you know, people's lives are not important. You want to understand that their lives couldn't be more important to us than they are to God. And so God loves us, so he's not just killing people. We want to make that clear. Bless the Lord. He's a compassionate God, a merciful God, a loving God, and a kind God. But this scripture says that he maketh the earth empty or depopulate it. Now, I definitely believe that He's a sovereign God. He's already gone ahead of us, made crooked places straight and rough places smooth. And we have to trust that God is omnipotent and omniscient. Amen. He knows everything. Bless the Lord. Scientifically, he's proven himself to know exactly how to create a man, glory to God, just using the Holy Spirit and not even involving a man. So supernaturally, he can do anything that he wants to do. And so then, even though we're putting a label on what's going on, and we say people are perishing because of this virus, but however, people are perishing because of many things. And so God knows how he's going to break down everything, and he's already let us know, look, your days are numbered. And when that number comes up, it doesn't matter, bless the Lord, that day is the day that we are going to see our Creator. He has a time set. Bless God. We don't even need to worry about that. So he says, make the earth empty, depopulate it, take away its inhabitants and its wealth. Never have we seen it before, but we're seeing it right now, that even with the wealth that's in the United States of America, we were yet behind and not ready when this epidemic hit the United States. As much money as flows through here, and as powerful of a nation that we are, and know that we have been given privilege by a holy God, but yet so much is still not in control of man. And so he says, turn it upside down. In other words, everything was thrown into confusion even then. He says that the silver and the religious institutions were all disorganized, and there was disarrangement everywhere. And so look at it now. If you see the parallel that's going on, there is a state of confusion. People don't know what to do because there's so many voices that's being heard right now going out in the atmosphere. You have to distance yourself and get in a quiet place and say, now what is the Holy Spirit saying? And Lord, what do you say about all of this? And what do you want us to do? And how should we behave ourselves? Yes, be obedient to the silver law. We already know that we should render unto Caesar what is due. However, we also know that there's no other name under the heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus. We already know that according to Matthew 28, he said that all power in both heaven and in earth have been given into the name of Jesus. And so then the prophet Isaiah talks here to Judah and lets them know, look, God is watching you. There's some issues, there's some situations, some circumstances that's going on. What's happening? There's a problem in the land, all right? And so he sets this text up with like an ecological concern. In other words, the earth is our habitat for life. We're supposed to live in the earth. The Lord created the earth to be a habitat for us to live in, according to Isaiah 45:18. He blessed the earth. Yes, he did, and put it under his care. That's found in Genesis 1:26. Something went terribly wrong, though, with this scenario when Adam and Eve rebelled against their creator. So to this day, the earth is still groaning under the curse of our sinfulness. That's what's going on in the earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 25. I can't stop with all these scriptures. It'll take us too long, but write them down and read them when you get home. But the earth is groaning, you all, because of the sinfulness that's going on right now in the earth. The Bible speaks about the environmental restoration of a global magnitude. Judah. It's going to be a recreated earth. God is going to do something about this according to Revelations 21:1. Yeah. But until that time, we have the responsibility to be good stewards of the earth. Until you all, we are called at this point to be good stewards, but now we also have to know that he gave us a command and he told us to be fruitful and to multiply. I'm going to be fruitful. Praise God. I'm going to bring forth fruit. I'm going to bring forth much fruit, and I'm going to bring forth fruit that remains because I'm connected to the branch. Praise God. And so for that reason, we're going to treat the land well. But the land is letting us know there's so much sin, I can't handle it. So let's go on down through these verses, if you would. Let's travel through in Isaiah 24:2. And it shall be as what happens with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, and so with the debtor. What he's saying is all will be involved with this calamity. It won't be anyone that's not a part of this calamity. He's telling them that even in that day, Israel was not allowed to exact usury from one another. Under the Mosaic law, they could not take usury from one another. But in calamity, all rights just went right out the window, and it became get whatever and take whatever just to keep you going. And so now he says all classes would be involved. Listen, nobody will be left out. This thing has hit everywhere with everybody. Ain't nobody left out. Celebrities, yes, they are included right in there. Mr. Tom Hanks and his wife both got quarantined. Mr. Chris Cuomo, a national reporter, and his wife both in quarantine. It has not been, not one has not been affected. And yes, even in my own family, the life of my first cousin on Tuesday, she transitioned to be with the Lord, and they naming it a virus. But it says here that nobody was obsolete. Matter of fact, everybody that was available in the earth at that time had to deal with that same calamity. Praise God. God is a just God. I promise you. He reigns on the just and he reigns on the unjust. But God is gracious. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, nevertheless, he's showing us how he can use judgment for restoration. He's showing us how he can use calamity for revival. And so then he keeps on talking and telling them that, look, he says that it was no difference in the creditor and the debtor. And then he talks about as it was with the people, it was with the priests. So in other words, as it is with the leaders or the preachers, it is with the lay also. Now that doesn't mean immorality, that doesn't mean moral wise, but that means that what he's saying to us is the destiny, the outcome is the same. That means the preacher got to wear a mask just like the laity have to wear a mask. That means that the preacher need to wash their hands just like the laity need to wash their hands. That means the preachers obey the civil laws just like the laity obey the law. In other words, the destiny of all of us is going in the same direction, and we're taking the same path. Praise God, you all. And then he goes on in verse 3, he says, the land and the earth shall be utterly laid waste and utterly pillaged, for the Lord has said this. The Lord gave this command. command. He gave this command to Judah because they were in a place of such disobedience. They were in a place of darkness and discontentment. They were in a place that it looked like they were not going to return back to God. How many of us can see that sin is covering the earth in a way that we've never seen it before? There's so much going on that we can't even tell it all. But still, God's saying, I'm watching over my word to perform it, and you're going to get it all back as the righteousness of God. All praise God. Hallelujah. We going somewhere today. And it says the land and the earth was also defiled by their inhabitants because they transgressed the laws. They disregarded the statutes and broke the everlasting covenant. Now, God was not pleased with this. So the earth, it went into mourning. It was languishing. In other words, it lost its vitality. People lost their desire to praise God and to give God glory. People went limp in the spirit realm. People just developed a hardness. They did no longer want to come into the house of the Lord and give him praise and worship. It became where you're begging people to just say hallelujah. It came to where the praise leaders are coercing people just to give God some glory that he's worthy of. The people's heart got hardened, not because God hadn't been good, but because he was so good, because he blessed them and put them in high places and brought them into places that they never had seen. Remember now, they've traveled out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of a land that held them captive, and they've come into a land of freedom. They've gotten into Canaan, and they get there and forgot who it was that brought them out. We forgot as a nation who it was that brought us out. And so he says the land and the earth, more or less the land, is defiled by the inhabitants. They have transgressed the laws. They've broken the laws, and they disregarded statutes, and they broke covenant. Nothing thought now about breaking covenant. The word statute accurately expresses the idea that they had changed the Mosaic law and Moses law. They had changed it and brought in new statutes. And in fact, if not in form, they had repealed the laws of Moses and introduced other laws, laws that they wanted to set up that would be pleasing to them. And so God said, wait a minute, I've already said some things are just immutable laws. In other words, I put them in the conscience of man. When he saved us, you all, he said we're no longer under the law, we under grace. And what he did was took the law and put the law in our hearts. And so then, because the law is in our hearts, the law, the civil law, don't have to stand over us and make sure we don't run a red light. The civil law don't have to stand over us and make sure we don't steal. The civil law does not have to watch over us to make sure that we obeying the laws of the land, because the law is now in our hearts. Some laws are just immutable. He says, now, how is it that you can get so wise in your own head that you start to defute what I said in my word, in the scripture? Some things I made plain before the foundation of the world, and then I turned around and gave Moses 10 commandments that I wanted to be followed, and I have not changed my mind. They still work. And so now, how can you change an immutable law that's supposed to be engraved into our conscience? Glory to God. We understand that sin is already judged. God already determined, you all, that marriage is to be between a male and a female. He already made that determination. He already laid out the law, the statute in Leviticus 18 and verse 20. He told them about the immorality and the perverseness. Can we look at that? Leviticus 18 and 20, he says to them, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." 21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Then he says in 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." What are you saying, Lord? That the statutes that I've given you, some of them are immutable. You don't go and change them just because you want something else to happen. I don't care who's in office. You can't just change God's law. And he tells us now, I know some will argue, well, you know, that's Old Testament and that's under the law. And now we're under grace. Yes, we're under grace. But some laws are immutable. He's not speaking about it so much because he already spoke about it. He already put that in our conscience, and we really know right from wrong. But we make choices to do what we want to do because we want to do it. But he already decided, even if you never read a scripture, I'm going to put something in your conscience to let you know that you're doing something that's wrong. If you never get a Bible in your hand, I still can save your soul because I put a conscience in you to let you know that that is wrong. Even though little children be doing things, they are quick to look around and see if you're looking at them, even if they don't really know right from wrong. If they go toward a glass on the table, they look at you and then they speed up because they want to get there before you rebuke them and chasing them. We do a lot of things that where we speed up and we don't want God to catch us and we don't want to be chasing, but we already know better. And so he said, this is what happened with the land. It's so much sin in it, it's hard to stand up right now. Something got to happen. Something has to happen. What's happening? He's depopulating. He's throwing it over. He's overthrowing some things. Glory to God. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't be misled. Neither the impure and the immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality." Isn't that the word right there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 9. Are you all reading it with me? Isn't that the word? Bless the Lord. He said, do you not know? You better know. Glory to God. So now some stuff we don't know. And so because we miss some things, he shows us in this scripture. Isaiah keeps saying that, look, Judah, the desolation was brought on Judah because they had become so wicked and defiled the laws and the statutes of God. And God allowed this to happen because of their sinful ways and disobedience. Now, quite a bit of chapter 24 is a figure of speech. And some of it we got to look at, but there are some literal truths in this word. So I want to take a look at what's really true and what's going on in the word that's actual and factual, because when Isaiah speaks to us, he's telling us that you need to get prepared, because even though you're going to come through this and you're going to regain and you're going to get it all back, something else is coming up, because I'm setting the stage and I'm getting you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just preparing you to understand that you're citizens of another country. You didn't come here to stay, that you're passing through. This is not your home eternally. And so you got to always keep that in mind, that you do not put things in the world above God. So he says, wait, let's be clear that it's not God now who's killing people, but it is sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So it is sin, you all, that's killing people. It's sin that's causing them not to live long in the earth. It's the disobedience of man. Did he not declare that disobedient children will not live their days and their days in the land? So now disobedience caused us to be under a curse, but obedience calls us to be under the blessing. Praise God. So he says, look, I'm getting you all out because I understand my people are perishing, destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Can we read that together? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the word of the Lord from the Amplified Version reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no more priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. What are you saying, Hosea? Well, the Message translation say, my people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. Because you've turned your back on knowledge, I've turned my back on your priest. Because you refuse to recognize the revelation of God, I'm no longer recognizing your children. Now, wait a minute. What's happening here? The priests were supposed to, at that time, take the sin offering from the people, according to Leviticus, I believe that's 26. But the priests were supposed to take the sin offering of the people. But instead of them taking the sin offering from the people, they were allowing the people to eat up the sin offering. The people had become so greedy. There's so much greed in the world right now. We can't just go with what God has blessed us with. We want the excess. We want the extra. Everybody going for themselves, and so much greed in the earth. So the land is suffering because of that greed. And so God said, I got to shake this. I got to do something about this. Well, what are you going to do, Lord? He says, even your children, when you look at that, I'm no longer recognizing your children. So there's a problem right there. You all, he's got to rectify some stuff. So he says, I'm going to get it back for you. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to get it back for you. I'm going to get it back for you. Well, what are you going to do, Lord? He says, I got a plan that, look, the last prophecy that I gave in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 through 6, glory to God, 5 through 6, Malachi 4, 5 through 6, read that, woman of God. Can you read that for us, just verses 5 through 6?
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Bless the Lord. Part of the last prophecy of the Old Testament, he talks about the return of Elijah from heaven to earth before that dreadful day of the Lord. In other words, at that time, it will be one of the greatest spiritual awakenings that we've ever seen. Why? Because the hearts of the fathers and the sons and all children and parents will be turned toward one another. All this foolishness we have going on right now, where children are disobedient to parents, even spiritual children disobedient to spiritual parents, all that's going on right now, God said, look, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to get it back for you. I'm going to cause the heart of the fathers to be turned back to the children. Well, who would think he could use a virus to do that? But I believe that every school in West Tennessee has been shut down, and not just Tennessee, but all 50 states. I don't think there's no boy, no girl, nobody that's going to a school building right now. Well, what has he done? He shut the children in with the fathers and the mothers. All they, your children now, you got to do what you need to do. You have been told to train up a child the way they should go, and when they old, they won't depart. We sent them to the schoolhouse. We put them off on the babysitter. We took them to after school care. And we did everything but what we should have done as parents. And that was to sit down and take our seed and train it in the ways of the Lord. Remind them them of the statures of how good God had been to us, and let them know that it was God that brought us all the way. It was God that made a way out of no way. Set them down and let them know it was not your job that sustained you. It was not how intelligent and your degrees that sustained you, but you need to sit them down and let them know that they need a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they have got to meet him for themselves, that they got to understand that all of us, including them, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for every action and deed that's been done. We ain't going to be able to blame anybody. We're going to stand individually before the judgment seat of Christ. And so he said, you need to let them know that. And the only way I can get y'all to do it, I can get some stuff shut down. I can close some doors in the school. I don't have to have principals that work with your children all day. And then when they call you to come to the school, you won't even go. Are you talking about handle it? I don't care what you do with that crazy rascal. No, he gonna deal with some parents. He gonna deal with some adults. Because all of this is not a child's problem. Some of this, I would say most of this, is parental. Most of it is because we got so caught up in having a good time, got so caught up and getting somebody else having a good time with them or their spouses, getting some stuff going in the back, and then grilling out on the front, doing a whole lot of stuff that didn't really amount to nothing, wouldn't come to revival, won't even go to the house of the Lord, don't even want to be checked or rebuked, just want to lay in sin and wallow in it. God said, what I'll do, I'll shut some stuff up so tight that you won't be able to do anything but sit still and know that I'm God. You will talk to that boy, you will talk to that girl, because they're going to be getting up every morning looking in your face. They're going to be getting up every day expecting you to have food, expecting you to have conversation. You're going to have to do something besides just send them off to somebody else, or somebody, praise God, or he working out some things. I know it looked like judgment, but he said, but I'm going to get it back again. The oldest institution in the Bible is the family. And the reason we got all this mess going on, the families are broken down. The families are broken down because we've taken God, Jehovah Nisi, out of the picture. We've taken Jehovah God, the one that was and is to come. We've taken him out, the one who's omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-seeing. That's the one. We took him out. Oh, bless the Lord. And when he was taken out, then sin came in, and it's tumultuous. I mean, it's strong. It has caused our children to be locked up, go to jail early. They're disrespectful in the classrooms. They won't sit down. They don't know. They've not been taught. They think that's the way to go. They've not been given an impartation of who they really are, that they are children of the Most High God, and that God got a purpose and a plan for their lives, and that they ought to be shaped and molded into the men and the women that God will have them to be. He says in the scripture, Psalms 127, said the children, hallelujah, are like arrows in the hand of a man. You're supposed to take them and sharpen them and shoot them into the direction that they should go. You're supposed to sit them down and tell them what they're going to be. You're supposed to speak into them and shape them so that they will know that they have a God who travels with them everywhere they go, even in the schoolhouse. But we miss that, y'all. Oh, glory to God. Because he said we perish for lack of knowledge. Oh, somebody needed to have some classes on parental guidance. But then you got to accept it. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In other words, I know some stuff you don't know. There's some things that you've never been taught. But then he said, but it's knowledge you reject. When I called you to revival, when I called you to the house of God, there are ministries that's teaching the word of God. There's a way out of this. It's through God's word. And if you want to get out, you can come out. Even now, this is a perfect excuse for some folk to sit back in their homes and do nothing, because they say we don't supposed to gather. Well, they're gathering in Walmart. They're gathering in Kroger's. Oh, come on. I've been up in there too, because it's necessary. Some stuff you got to get. And we don't always have that distance. Well, how about the light of God? A few saints that will come together. Are we in obedience? I believe so. They said nobody gathering no number over 10. Oh, bless the Lord. Ain't no 10 folk. Everybody in here got an hour. You can take off and run as hard as you want to and won't run into nobody. But you can still get your praise on. You can still give glory to God. We still remember the word of the Lord. Presence of getting an impartation. And this morning, we getting an impartation. Somebody shout glory up in this place. So he says, you all better listen and understand. Hosea talks to him, perishing for lack of knowledge. Amen. Hosea 4, 7 through 9. Read, woman of God.
Hosea 4, 7 through 9. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings.
Uh-huh. God was disappointed that his people had left his counsel and subjected themselves to idol gods. They practiced idolatry. He was disappointed. He increased them and multiplied. He's given us so much, but as much as he's given us, we could not give glory to God. We've given it to all other things and people except giving glory to God. So he says, I'll put you all in the same category. I'll let you know all classes will be dealt with. I'll deal with the banker and I'll deal with the creditor. Listen, the creditor cannot walk into the bank because the banks are closed. You can't even go into the banks now because all the doors are locked. You're going to either have to do the drive-through because you cannot do face-to-face in the banks right now. And so he said, I'll deal with them and I'll deal with the creditors. I will deal with all classes and everyone will be headed in the same direction. But praise God, there's a remnant in the group. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The remnant is what he's sparing in this hour. He said, because the rest of them got so strong in idolatry, and God hated idolatry, you all. Idolatry. Can I speak about that for just a little bit? I won't be very much longer. The idolatry is the worship of something that's created as opposed to the worship of the creator himself. Anytime we spend more time worshiping been something that's been created over the creator who made it, that's getting into idolatry. Now, this was so serious that the prohibition of this was against the making and the worshiping of images, and it was included as the second of the 10 commandments, that there was to be no graven image before God. No image. We're to cast down images and imaginations that exalts itself above God. So idolatry can take many forms, and it's persisted for some times now. From the earliest time of Joshua 24:2 states that Abraham's father served idols. But God rescued Abraham, brought him out. Perhaps we see the earliest reference in the Bible to idols. It's the household idols, or what was called a teraphim. And what that is a small clay figurine. And that's what Rachel stole from her father, Laban, over in Genesis 31 and 34. She stole it, and she was sitting on it when they discovered it. That was an idol. So we have idols right up in the house of God, in things and people. And then we try to justify mixing it in the worship and with the true and the living God. And so he said, no, you can't bring idol worship up in the house of God. Look, we brought in music that was not even of God. And sometimes we don't even know what an artist has originated from. We got to be careful with that we don't idolize something that we really don't even know the origination. That's why I'm like, it's okay. Let's end it, because I know Felicia's voice. I know her spirit. But some stuff, I don't know. Bless the Lord. And so then I want to go with Minister Danielle. I know her spirit. Bless God that there's not going to be idolatry in the worship. Because see, if you sitting around worshiping an artist and you think that they're just all that in a bag of chips, then that's going to come through when you give worship to God. And he said, don't have no other God before me. Don't put no man, woman, boy, girl. Look, I'm telling you right now, I've made a decision to sell out for Jesus. And let nobody turn me around. Let nobody keep my soul from meeting my maker. I'm going to see Jesus in spite of what it costs me. And so I refuse to be off in the idol worship. I love you. I thank you, precious. You are a blessed man, a woman of God. But I cannot put you before God. And so then sometimes we just have to check that. Because he deserves it, you all. He deserves that we have no other God before him. God been too good to us. He said, wait a minute, don't y'all go around here now and play the harlot. Don't do that. Don't idolize and get in relationships with things. Don't commit spiritual adultery. Y'all, I've been God to you. Bless the Lord. When you know you've been treated bad, you know what the devil did to us. He carried us out there and he used us and he desired to use us up. Bless the Lord. He had us in all kind of sin. Come on. I know we've been delivered, but we weren't always in the house of God. But when I got free and the God that I serve set me free, I ain't never going back to the way I was. I ain't never going back to that place of darkness. Oh my God, is there anybody in here that can just bless the Lord for a little while for how he brought you out and how he set you free? Oh, praise God. If you used to cuss, now you don't cuss no more. You ought to praise God. If you used to steal, now you don't steal no more. You ought to praise God. I give him glory, because I know our Redeemer lives and he lives in us. That's why he said, I'm going to get it back, because somebody going to break out and give glory to God. Even through all of this trial and tribulation, somebody going to praise God. Hallelujah. Like they done lost their mind. Somebody gonna say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, we wouldn't have made it. I bought all kind of sanitizer. I used all kind of bleach. But I still give the glory to God. Because if it had not been for the hand of God covering our lives, we still would be a statistic. We would be a number somewhere where they count numbers. People don't even have names in this thing. They just count numbers. I refuse to be a number. Why? Because he knows my name. Oh, bless the Lord. I thank you, Tasha. He's shown up, know my name, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody shout glory, and somebody shout, it is written. I'm gonna get it back. Yes. I'm going to get my joy back. I'm going to get my peace back. I'm going to get my love back. I'm going to get my overflow back. I'm going to get my ministry back. I'm going to get my marriage back. I'm going to get it back, because the hand of God is on my life. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I refuse to not finish this. Put the idols away. Glory to God. Put the idols away. Consider it a blessing when God will come in and chasten us and judge our sins and give us opportunity for repentance. We consider it a blessing. It's not something to brag on. When God leaves us alone, when God, he said this in Hosea 4, and I'll get the last two verses so we can hurry on. But he says, Hosea 4 and 16, for Israel slided back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Backslidden. So many people that have backslided. But the word of God says he's married to the backslider. So it's not too late. You can still get your relationship with God back. You can still repent and come back to God. You can do it right now. You don't have to even wait till I finish the message. You can just say, wait a minute. I'm a backslider. I've slid so far back. I don't feel like I used to feel. I don't even have the presence. I don't even have the desire. Come on, there's a hunger and a thirst after righteousness that's down in the remnant of God's people. You all are here this morning because God has put something in you. It's called a thirst for righteousness. You want to uphold the bloodstained banner of the Lord. I'm so glad he put that down in us. That's something I don't ever want to lose. Glory to God. You can take a lot of things away, God, but just don't take away your anointing, because the anointing needs to rest on us. The anointing shatters the yoke and removes the burden. Somebody shout, God, whatever you do, don't take your anointing. I need the anointing. If you shut some stuff down, that's all right with me. But just let me still know that your anointing is resting on me. Let me speak to a mountain and tell it to move and watch it move where I tell it to go. I want you to honor your word through me. So Lord, I know that even though I'm in a situation now and there's calamity all around me and the city is shut down and the people are at a standstill, but you are still at work down on the inside of us. Oh, bless the Lord. So he said, come on, Israel, you are backsliding heifer. Oh, don't get upset. He called them a heifer in the word, and a heifer was a cow that was young, a cow that hadn't been broken, a cow that hadn't been trained. That cow would go to every pastor and stick her neck over in that pastor and say, what's going on over here? And the owner would be trying to keep her in the green pasture, but she would break off and go other places. We acted like heifers. Oh, yes, we did. We broke off and went into places that we didn't have no business. But God said, that's all right. I put a fence up. I wouldn't let you go too far. I'm bringing you back like a backsliding heifer. You're coming back. Oh, I want to make an announcement all over West Tennessee. Every backsliding heifer coming back to Christ. He done opened the door for you to be able to repent, for you to change your mind, for you to say, God, you're right and I'm just wrong. I repent. Now be God in my life, because I don't mind you chastening me. I don't mind you calling me a backsliding heifer. That ain't the worst thing I've been called. You love me enough to call me that so you can turn me around. Oh, I give him glory. Somebody shout glory. Come on, Israel. You're a backsliding heifer. But the Lord said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to bring you out a lamb in a large place. So then he says in verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols, so let him alone. Don't bother him. So what is he saying? There's some folk that's in so much sin, they love it. Don't bother. Leave him in there. Now that ain't a blessing. When he was chasing us, when he would check us, when he would send us a word of correction, that's love. How you know? Hebrews 12 and 6 says it. For the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. So for the Lord to correct, for the Lord to bring a word, for him to tell us, you backslidden, you need to turn around, you need to change your ways, that's love. For him not to speak at all, for him to say, just leave them alone, because they done been given over to what's called a reprobate mind. They're not changing right now. They like what they're doing, and they don't even want to hear truth. And so then, so we have to look at it for what it is. He said, it's a lot of idols going on, and some people done found their way to these idols. But he said, repent, change your mind. Repent, change your mind. Bless the Lord. Repent, change your mind. That's all we're saying this morning. We're going to get it back. How? Apostle Paul wrote it in the Word. He says it in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Bless the Lord. This is his word. He says in the Word to us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Knowing the terror of the Lord. In other words, he speaks it in Isaiah 24. He depopulates the earth. He said, I, the Lord. Caused this. I, the Lord, allowed this. And so now, knowing that God has the final say, he said, we are persuading men. We're coming before you and asking that you change your thoughts. In other words, he says in verse 11, therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence. We seek to win people over. All we are doing by the preaching of the gospel is seeking to win people over, seeking to bring people back from a backslidden condition. We're seeking this morning. We're seeking souls. We're asking you, hear the voice of the Lord. Don't harden your heart. Don't turn away. Don't get anxious, and don't remove yourself from hearing God's word, but let God speak to you. Apostle Paul said, am I here now? I'm talking to you. He says, but what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. And I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your consciences. In other words, your inborn discernment. I pray that you can hear God in this season saying, come on, because some things are going to go on in the earth. Some things are going to happen. But if you will decide today to make me your Lord, you'll be part of my remnant, and I will cover you under the shadow of my wings. So Apostle Paul says, listen to us closely. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion and an incentive to be rightfully proud of us, so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them, that you will not be misled by those that really don't care enough about your soul to even tell you what thus says the Lord, so you have an opportunity to turn from your wicked ways. But give God glory when he sends a word to find you, even in your sinful ways, when he sends that word out after you. Give God glory. All we are just ambassadors. I stand with Apostle Paul this morning and encourage, just as he did in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. He says there, you all, he says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. This is a time for reconciliation. In the time of you not being able to go outside, in the time of you not being able to go about your normal routine, in the time where we're in and sitting down, let it be a time where families gather and speak together and talk about things and come to a place of understanding. Let it be where the hearts of the fathers turn to the children and they begin to have devotion back in the house as they should be doing. And let it be that some good comes out of this and that the God will get the glory out of this. Because you all, there's a remnant that's going to be always left after every calamity. And we are part of it right here, right now, today. And so it is that some people want to hurry on up and get through all of this. And they want to hurry on up and get things back to what they call normal. But what God is doing, he's saying, unless repentance happens in the heart of man and a confession is made with the mouth, you'll go right back to doing the same thing you were doing prior to this calamity. Hurry up and get back. Hurry up and open the country back up so we can get back to our bars and we can get back to doing what we enjoy. We can get back to pleasure. No. He said, you ain't never going to get back like you think you're going to get back, but you will get back as a remnant, as a part of the body of Christ, as a true believer, because I'm snatching you up out of that stuff. That's the reason I shut them doors, so you wouldn't have opportunity. I know if I take opportunity from you, then your chances of turning back and not being in a backslidden position is going to be stronger. He hit a city that called the place that never sleeps, but now it's asleep. There's nobody stirring, nobody going. Y'all, it's a terrible time. There's so many bodies that can't even get a funeral prepared. There's no arrangements being made. They told us it might be months before they could even get to the body. Now, because of the calamity that's in the earth and what's going on, who don't want to turn to God? What he's saying is, somebody, you better listen and hear today, that you are going to one day be called before God. He gonna call the number, and that's a number that you gonna have to step up and answer. Everybody got a day assigned. You got a day to be born and a day to expire, and those days are in the hands of God. And we know not the day or the hour that he come back to get her, but he's going to come back. So Isaiah told them, y'all better hear the word of the Lord. He said, the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Look at that. Right then, Isaiah 24 and 10. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house shut up. Look, the houses are shut up today. People are in the house and the houses are shut up. Oh, bless the Lord, somebody. But he says, listen, what I want to do is let you understand this. All pleasure will be abandoned. I know you want to hurry up and get back to some stuff. Isaiah 24 and 11 says all pleasure will be abandoned. What? He says there is a crying for wine in the streets, but all joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. What's got to happen here? Well, I tell you what's going to happen. Israel, in order for you to get back, you're going to have to pray. You're going to get back, but you're going to have to pray. Israel will pray. Did Israel pray? Yes, Israel prayed. How you know? Isaiah 26 and 16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and cried out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. So he says, glory to God, I'll get you back if you will pray. So he told us, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and if they will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their lands. Somebody say, I'm going to get it back. I'm going to get it all back. Everything that God has for me, because I'm a praying man of God. I'm a praying woman of God. So I'm going to get it all back. How you know? Because he made them a promise. Behind that promise, and when the judgment was over, he said, it's going to be a great revival. It's going to be a great restoration. Souls are going to be harvested. We're going to get the best harvest of soul and the biggest that we've ever seen before in our lives. Just like we've not seen this happen in a shut down city. Just like we've not seen something that the healthcare people can't deal with, that they don't have an answer to. We've never seen such a great revival. We've never seen such a great harvest of soul. But I decree and declare, I prophesy that men and women are going to come back to God. I decree and declare that they putting down their bottles, putting up their joints. I decree and declare that the pleasure is gone. He says to Isaiah, tell them that I can even take the taste out their mouth, so that they won't even want a strong drink. One thing about this virus, it says that you can't smell or taste. God got a way of taking a taste for that that does not belong to him, and give glory to him out of your mouth. You're so concerned about what you're gonna eat, you don't have time to worry about committing sin. God got a way, bless the Lord, of bringing us back to where he wants us to be. I declare and decree that it's restoration time. I thank you, Lord. We've been in a rest break. We've been on rest, y'all. Oh, but bless the Lord, the city is opening up, and restoration and reconciliation is coming into the house of God. It's just like God decreed it. There will be Hispanics, there will be Caucasian, there will be Afro-Americans, and they will worship the same God, same Lord. I'm telling you, it's a great breakthrough in racism. I'm telling you, God has equaled. He has laid dormant the playing field. Everything now is on an equal playing field. He said, I'll deal with every class of people. Everybody will get an understanding. If it was not for the Lord on your side, that you wouldn't have made it. That we'll give glory to God. That you will say, I was about to go down for the last time, and God put it on a good Samaritan's heart. I got a box of food just in time. God saved my family from starving because somebody had a heart to get some food prepared. Or somebody will give glory to God because they understand that their heart got changed. They'll say, Lord, I didn't understand it. It didn't look like it was working for my good, but I understand now. Although it wasn't good, you say everything could work together for the good for those that are called according to my purpose. And I thank you that we've been called according to your purpose. So I bless the Lord. Somebody just start shouting, I'm getting back everything the devil stole. I'm getting back. I'm getting back. Or it's coming back stronger than it ever was. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm telling y'all, I heard all the other night when we were having Bible study, it was more people on the line than has ever sat up in the house of God. Well, they wouldn't come on a Wednesday night, on a Monday night, but now they're tuning in to say, what's the word from the Lord? That's why we're going to get it back, because repentance has hit the heart of God's people. Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory. Thank you, Isaiah, for delivering this word. Thank you that you let us see the
sin is what killing the people. That is not our God. He's faithful. He's full of love. He's not willing that any should perish, but all will come unto repentance. So God, I declare today, repentance has come in the city. Repentance has come in this state. Repentance has come in this nation. Repentance in the heart of man. And God, I give you glory, I give you praise, and I give you honor. In Jesus' name, I'm getting it all back. A great return. He said the enemy will come in one way, he got to flee out seven. God, seven ways you perfect in our lives, bringing us to that expected end. Thank you now, Father, for a peace that passes all understanding. God, in our hearts and mind. Father, I decree you. If you'll open your mouth and decree and repeat after me, we're finished. We're closing. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today that you're God all by yourself. We receive your word that we're getting it all back. Our joy is doubled. Our peace is double. Our love is double. Our patience is double. Our prosperity is tripled. And we give you glory. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk upright before you. We walk upright and we decree you're withholding nothing good. Thank you, Lord, for all your favor and your glory. In Jesus' name, we walk by faith and not by sight. But we expect this word to come to manifestation in our lives. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Give us worship music, Felicia. Hallelujah. You've been blessed by the word. Clap your hands and give God glory. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and give God glory. Clap your hands and give God glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together. Lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Seekers Church podcast. To sow into this message, visit kingdomseekerschurch.org/donations. We pray the Lord's blessing upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord give you his peace.